Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Gang's back together again.
Yes, finally, we've rebuilt Rome.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
It's a triumvirate.
Tripod?
It's the tripod. It's the...
the ultimate format.
Absolutely.
Two boys and a girl.
Like Tots TV.
Yeah, that horse only actually had three legs.
What horse?
The Troy one. And that's us.
We could have actually, I shouldn't have done this episode, I should have just done you two, because I'm about to go on holiday. You could have done like a very much like, we have killed him.
Oh, a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good actually. But then people wouldn't believe it because we'd have been arrested if we'd murdered you.
Only if you were bad at it.
That's true actually. Well, if we did it and confessed to it.
You'd confess if you did something bad straight away.
If I did it.
No, but Simpson. Yeah. I think you'd panic and you would confess.
Yeah, things. I don't think I do anything that bad. I wouldn't intentionally murder someone.
You know how like the Russian police fucked up those guys that did the Moscow City Hall attack, like chopped off that guy's ear and fed it to him and stuff. They wouldn't need to do that to you.
No,
you just sign your confession immediately.
Is that you'd rat? You'd rat.
If I accidentally
away.
Murdered Ollie.
No, if you accidentally stormed a music venue in Moscow.
143 people.
The sad irony is that he would sign the confession and they would still torture him afterwards. So it would have been pointless.
Yeah.
So if I was a radically different person and for some reason was an Islamist operating in Russia and committing terrorists, I think my life would be quite different.
So you think they deserve the torture?
No.
Do you think you'd still have that haircut?
If I was an Islamist?
Yeah. I would say that's quite a Tajik Islamist haircut, to be honest with you.
Well, above a beard.
No, the fringe, though.
It's quite Islamist.
They're like the gap between the forehead and fringe. I don't know how to describe it. There must be some kind of name for that space, liminal space there.
it's giving Islamist.
Yeah. Have you got your phone? Pull up the guy. I think it's the one who had the military radio connected to his genitals. No, I don't want to see that photo.
I'm not going to start searching for ISIS fighters on my phone.
Can you look it up?
What?
Just look up the suspects in the Crocus City Hall attack, and I'll show you which one I think you look like. In the meantime, Ava, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you.
In the meantime, guess which one you're talking about. City Hall suspects.
Yeah, I'm great, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm great, thank you.
How was your LBC show this weekend?
Wonderful, yeah, very good.
Sorry, all the photos are like these horrifically tortured men.
And he finds that funny.
Yeah.
He finds that fucking hilarious.
So you're on the side of the Islamists?
No, so you want pre-torture.
I can't get pre-torture?
Yeah, there were some photos of them pre-torture. Or you could get the ones when they're like quivering in fear, about to be tortured.
Did they film the torture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's pics of it.
They've got two for HR. Well,
I think
we followed procedure on this one, boss.
I'll give you. You tell me which tortured one I look like.
It's this guy here, but you can't see it obviously because he's now like unconscious in a
wheelchair.
Well,
maybe we should smack Ed up and then we'd be able to
figure it out.
Maybe I should. I should do it.
Beat yourself up.
Oh my god, I've come off camera.
Anyway,
black eyes.
Would you ever do that? Would you do that for love?
No.
This was one of the first times that I've been conscious when the clocks have changed, because I was leaving my house to go to do LBC.
You had the worst.
Yeah.
Wow.
What? Because
were you late?
No, I wasn't late. Clive Bull wins because his show is just an hour shorter, and he actually had quite a pithy sign off where he was like, "I thought 1 till 2 was my best hour." Which obviously was the hour that just disappeared into the ether.
Yeah, yeah, that's good, that.
But I was outside my front door, looked at my phone to see the time, and it was 1 minute to 1, and I watched it, and it went, it's now 2. And I was like, very good.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Dispiriting. But otherwise, a lovely Easter weekend. He is risen.
He is risen.
We put out an interview of you interviewing about porn.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And I said to Sean that the sell for that, because it went out on Easter Sunday, should have been He Has Risen. And he was too much of a coward to do it.
I'm glad Sean decided not to do a dick joke about me on the Politics Show Twitter account.
No, it's about, because it's porn.
But who is the he in the... It's me, isn't it? I'm the man in the video.
And you were rock hard through it.
See, now that is exactly the kind of chat that did not feature in the interview. It's a very serious discussion with a very serious academic.
You're using this table.
Do not cheapen the very serious work of Dr. Fiona Vera Gray. He's gone wild.
And is there boobs?
God's sake. We did talk about boobs, yeah? That's very similar to the other noise you've made before. The guy who made the supercut had your... Yeah.
It's shorthand for horny.
Yeah. What was that last time? Last time you made that noise?
Was it like... The dominatrix paintball.
About Megara Fury.
Yeah, about dominatrix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't shoot. Yeah, don't. Please do it again, yeah.
That interview was your equivalent of being a sub and having your dominatrix shoot you with a paintball.
I'm actually glad that it was just me and Laura who worked on that interview, because I don't think you two would have had anything meaningful to contribute.
Well, let me actually contribute something. So the other day... When Sean was doing the thumbnail, Sean put up like a guy and a girl, and then he was like, "Do you think the sun works?" And I was like, "Well, will people know who they were? Like, they are, and they were porn stars." And in unison, both Sean and Ed went, "Yes."
Are you pretending you didn't know who they are?
I'm going to back Ed and say I don't think Ava did know who they were.
I wasn't being like precious or a pick me. I just, you know, I don't probably watch the same porn as Ed, which is like two.
Stop. Now is my turn for revenge. Ava, what type of porn do you think Ed watches?
Like two people who are in love.
So the worst kind. They like go out for dinner. You know, like that.
Yeah.
The bit at the beginning of the porn, before the porn starts. When the porn part, that Ed watches.
The main part.
The porn doesn't start. It's just they go out for dinner and then it finishes.
Wait, what happens after that?
Stepdaughter trapped in washing machine, but they love each other.
Someone said stepmom porn would be ruined if you just described it as dad's wife.
Oh.
Dad's wife.
The allure of stepmom porn would be completely... If you referred to that as dad's wife, it wouldn't be as...
Why?
...popular. Because it sounds worse, doesn't it?
I don't know, does it?
I feel like stepmom's still pretty bad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's still bad. It's not like...
there was an interview, and I forget this TikToker, but she's really funny. She was interviewing a porn star, and he was talking about when he was doing a scene with two twins who were like doing stuff to each other.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about that, like, that's mental. Because that's your sibling.
That's incest, isn't it?
Well, in many countries, incest is only if you procreate. So in some countries, you can...
Oh, hello, Jeremy Irons.
I think, and I'd have to check it, but when we would do... When I was with my friends a few weeks ago, we did like a Where's Incest Legal game.
You're planning a holiday.
Because it surprises you. Yeah, right.
It was annoyed that that was
yeah. I think that same sex sibling sex is legal in Ireland. I remember that being...
Did you hear that, Sean?
Sean's moving back.
Yeah, because I remember...
No, but this is the Jeremy
Irons... Does it
Irons...
apply to expats?
This is the Jeremy Irons interview, right? Where he's like, well, it cannot be incest because it requires procreation. A man and his son cannot have incestual relations.
Is that when he was concerned about men marrying their sons for tax reasons?
Yeah.
That's why he's opposed to gay marriage.
Where were we going with that? How did that start?
Gaza.
That is actually the first thing on the rundown.
Yeah.
What did you ask me?
We were talking about all these horny interviews.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't horny.
You're
it was a very
me,
serious interview.
Yeah.
You wrote a lot of notes during that interview, I noticed.
Well researched. That's a compliment.
When Laura's writing the research notes, she's just been watching like hardcore porn for like a week at the desk.
I went to the Porn Awards last year. And I was researching it. I was doing like cheat sheet of all the porn stars. And I was like, this is hell. Sitting with the HR behind me.
I know someone who sits at one of those tables behind you would have come up and been like, nice one, fella.
Porn at work, am I right?
The Irish Bull, no. Big fan.
When's the next one? The next one must be pretty soon. You going to go back?
June. Yeah, why not?
You got that girl who liked you.
That girl who liked me.
There's
the one who was making the eyes at you in the interview.
For
no,
Reddit.
No, see if they can find it.
No, I was about to say for Reddit
yeah,
users.
See if they can
if
find it.
If you could go and find it, and then you tell us which one you think it is. I would say it's really obvious.
It is quite obvious, yeah.
I watched that video recently. It's on the main Joe YouTube, I think. I watched it again recently for the first time. And when you're making that content, when you're so in it, I was not shocked by what... There have been other things they were saying.
There was a man who said he had women stub cigarettes out on his head.
Yes, and I just took it like a champ. That's called being a pro.
Yeah.
And there was that guy who stood there for like 5 minutes explaining to you how big his penis was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what was he called? The bull?
The Irish bull.
Irish bull.
To be fair to him, I mean, if you were to ask Ed about his work, he could talk to you about it for 5 minutes, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
If it was in a professional setting or he was being interviewed. So, the male porn star, tell me about your work.
Why did he call you the Irish bull?
We're going to talk about my penis, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's good. It is far more shocking than I thought it was. I was clutching my pearls watching it.
I think you should go more gonzo with this one, next one.
And what did that what? And become a porn star? Okay.
We've got all the camera equipment. We've got the studio.
That would be horrendous.
Yeah, it would be bad.
Very hard to get studio time in here, though, isn't it? That would be the one
they'd make
inhibitor
the time.
To this.
They'd make the time. I think the production guys would work overtime on that one. Ed's doing what?
The largest crew ever.
The whole office comes down.
Oh, my God.
You don't want the crew to be too large because it might emasculate you.
True.
That was a small dick joke.
I got it. No, didn't need explained. Should we talk about my morning?
Well... It didn't take long, did it? I mean, the three of us back and we're already, I mean, what's this, 15 minutes in so far?
Yeah, they're going to be annoyed. We have quite a stacked rundown as well.
It's busy. We're going to have to rattle through it.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing on the rundown, for anyone who's not familiar, Ed Campbell's here and Ava Santina's here. I feel like that's kind of a given at this point, but mm-hmm. I should have done the intros 15 minutes ago. The first item on the rundown is Ed's morning.
Yes.
So, Ed, tell us about your morning.
You've seen that, like, I wrote that. Okay, well, we're talking about my morning.
Then Ollie will ask me about my morning.
No, I was at, there was a protest outside the Foreign Office this morning in Westminster by a group called NAMOD, which is a grassroots movement of British Jews who are opposed to Israel's action in Gaza. And they were calling for the UK to unfreeze its funding of UNRWA and to an end to the war in Gaza.
Who was there?
I see there's about 50 protesters, and people gave various speeches. They brought tents with them that were reminiscent. They said it was to be reminiscent of the kind of refugee camps rather, in Rafah. Zahra Sultan was there. And they were just outside and they were chanting and protesting, giving speeches.
Success?
I think so. As successful as a protest can be.
Yeah, there's been a ceasefire.
Mr. Netanyahu has put down his arms.
What was interesting was I was speaking to one guy and he was talking about, I was asking how well they were received in by other, like the wider Jewish community. Because it's like, it's the minority, I think it's a minority position within the British Jewish community is like getting involved with this thing. And he's talking about how kind of existential.
Getting involved, but I don't think there's a difference in strength of feeling.
In terms of?
I think most Jewish people I know would like a ceasefire.
Yeah, but in terms of like kind of how vehement, I think this guy seems to suggest there was a difference of opinion with people within the Jewish community at large, and he said he faced like hostility from other Jewish people,
really?
Right. His own family,
his own family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough, isn't it?
And so he said, because Israel was such an existential thing, like he said. The community is raised to see Israel as this kind of like this protective thing almost. It's like we'll always be safe because we have Israel. And he said they're kind of looking to undo that thinking and to undo that thinking of you can criticize it as when it does wrong, you can criticize it essentially. And there was an Israeli woman was on a jog past the thing and she went ballistic.
Oh, really?
Like, screaming, like you've lost touch with yourselves, you've lost your identity. And then someone was speaking to her in Hebrew, so I didn't understand the conversation, but it was like a heated discussion for like a good while.
There's definitely a parallel there about sort of like uncritically engaging with your country, for sure, because it's a refrain you hear over and over again in UK political discourse, right? Which is that if you criticise the actions of the British state or the British government, that is in some way an unpatriotic thing to do, that the patriotic thing is to just sort of mercilessly shag the flag and not think about what could or should be better about your country, which for me seems to be the complete reverse logic, right? The idea that you criticize your country is because you want it to be better. That is the truer expression of patriotism, right? Is to engage with what your country does rather than uncritically supporting it no matter what happens.
Yeah. That's it. Well, yeah. Overnight, there was some quite significant news.
Yeah, big time.
Out of Gaza. 7 people working for the charity World Central Kitchen were killed in an Israeli strike in Gaza. Just before we started recording, Netanyahu has said that the convoy were hit unintentionally. It happens in war, and we will do everything so that this does not happen again. Now, that's interesting to me because that convoy, various aid groups who work in the region say that they give their coordinates to the IDF when they're moving, when they're travelling around. The IDF know where they're going.
And they had that on this occasion, yeah.
And it was quite clearly signposted as well. If you look at, I think it's a shell that's hit the top of the vehicle. It looks like there's a big hole in it. It quite clearly says that it's part of the World Kitchen, and they just dropped off 100 tonnes of aid, I think they said, which is loads.
It is, yeah. I think there was an embassy got bombed as well.
Oh, in Iran.
Yeah, I think it was the Iranian embassy.
They're saying it wasn't that.
In Damascus.
Yeah. But, you know, the Australian PM has been, so they're saying that they would like full accountability, and our Prime Minister is saying that it's deeply worrying.
Really interesting story on The Guardian over the weekend. You see that Alicia Kearns leaked tape saying that... So she's the chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, and she says that the British government's legal advice in relation to what's happening in Gaza is that the IDF is breaking international law in its actions. The reason that they won't publish that legal advice is because if it came out that that's the legal advice they'd receive, then they would be legally required to stop selling arms to Israel. They'd have to stop granting export licenses. Yeah. The government obviously denies that. But that leaked recording of her saying that. I think it was at like a Tory, like a grassroots fundraiser. Tory event fundraiser thing where she was saying that, which is concerning.
David Cameron as well. He would like a full report from the Israeli government about this. Now, if this happened anywhere else, I would expect that the foreign secretary would probably go there and ask to see the evidence themselves or pick up the phone.
Is this a bit like when Jeremy Corbyn said we should send a sample of the Novichok to Russia to ask them to assess whether or not it came from their own biochemical weapons lab? Mm. You're asking the Israelis to mark their own homework,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So it was an accident?
Yes.
Yeah, and we trust it was an accident?
Absolutely,
perfect. You had their exact coordinates.
Thank you, BB.
You had the exact coordinates of this convoy, the IDF hit it, and now aid organisations are pulling out. Mm. And that's an unintended consequence of it. Is it?
Nice.
Is that, like, I think, well, that's what they're expecting people to believe. That's what they want people to believe.
Yeah.
Was it on Netanyahu's watch, though? Because was he not undergoing a hernia treatment last
night?
Oh,
yeah, wasn't he? Mm.
Even if it wasn't on Netanyahu's watch, it's that someone in the IDF feels at liberty to do that.
Sorry, I was being facetious.
you were once again defending Netanyahu.
As yes.
A classic Ava. Classic Ava behavior.
But I think it's people aren't stupid.
Elon Levy's changed his tune a little bit as well. I saw him, he's been retweeting a few bits that aren't as... pro Netanyahu as they used to be.
Well, he lost his job, didn't he?
He lost his job because he picked a fight with David Cameron. And as the spokesperson for the Israeli government,
swing at the king, you better not miss.
But, you know, it's a bit like, Elon, I think we got a bit ahead of ourselves there, didn't we?
Big protest as well in Israel.
Yes.
Going for an election, the release of the hostages. I think it's, from what I hear, but it's basically all anyone's talking about in Israel is just release the hostages, release the hostages, release the hostages. Understandably so. And once that happens, I think they are quite keen to get rid of Bibi.
Yeah.
Look, he's tweeting, under international law, hospitals must be protected. He's talking about the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza, which the World Health Organization has said cannot run in any shape or form as a hospital anymore because it's so obstructed.
Yeah.
Well, when I looked at it, I did think, is that the hospital?
Yeah, it just looks like a fucking like flattened multi-level, multi-story car park
now,
doesn't
it? Yeah. Sky News wrote a piece on it about an hour before we came on. And then they were like, Sky News has not been able to verify the World Health Organization's claims. And it was like, did anyone who could see pictures have a go?
Yeah. That's the other big thing, by the way. They're not allowing journalists into Gaza, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Which is the big, that's the biggest point. But I suppose you could argue with that because I think there's over 100 journalists who've been killed in Gaza now.
Mm.
So. Perhaps that's why they're not letting anyone in.
It's for your own good. We'll just kill you
if you're an aid worker, if you're a journalist, anyone who could help alleviate the situation, you're not allowed to go in.
Yes, and Al Jazeera is about to be made. Will not be allowed to broadcast anymore in Israel. It's a nice new bill. It's nice that Netanyahu has had time, the Israeli parliament have had time to pass a bill paving the way to ban Al Jazeera. You'd think they might have other things to focus on, but it really is the information that is the concern here. It's not the bombing.
People are finding out about it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we didn't want.
This, it just sounds like real classic stand-up democratic behaviour from the only democracy in the region. Mm. Have you tried being gay anywhere else? Have you tried being a journalist anywhere else, man?
What the hell is the? Have you tried being gay? That line is absolutely
you can't get married
mental.
If you're gay.
Anyway, Sunak's played an absolute blinder on this one because he's doing the sort of hot dog man thing. You know the hot dog meme where he's like, "When we find out who did this, be shocked and saddened."
Do you I think you should leave? Have you watched it? The hot dog meme.
Sorry, I completely misunderstood you, and I thought you were asking me to leave.
Ava, I think you should leave.
I was like, okay.
No.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm glad the gang's all back together again.
You've been too pro-BB once again. We've had to edit out all your other pro BB stuff.
You would not believe how long Sean and Laura have to spend editing this.
Each
when Ava talks about Gaza.
It's 3 hours.
It's so much propaganda we have to take out.
Well, I'll just say as well, you know, another good moment for Sunak this morning was Sunak's spokesperson. Sunak's spokesperson this morning. So over the last couple of months, you might have heard repeatedly them talk about how it's nothing to do with the weather, the number of asylum seekers that crossed the channel, because the numbers were quite low. You know, when it was very windy and it was rainy, there was nothing to do with the weather. This is just cut through of the Rwanda plan. They're too frightened to come here now. We've done it, boys.
Can I just say, the idea of like cut through is already like quite a Westminster brained like thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that there's cut through for refugees. Yeah. It's like, we've got cut through on the Rwanda buddy. It's so fucking funny.
Do you know what the aid groups in the refugee camps do? Is they hang out one iPad and they put Politics Live on. Mm. And they all just clamber around.
Distributing the Telegraph.
Don't you come for Politics Live? Because I think that's the one BBC programme that I will hear no shit from.
The one?
Yeah.
It's the only one that books it. Joke.
That is not true.
I know it's not true, but I'm just being funny.
Was funny, and that's why it's annoying me. Back to the
Go on.
Refugees.
What were you going
to
say?
So anyway, the weather has not had any effect whatsoever on the number of people that have been crossing. The numbers have been coming down organically. This morning, Downing Street spokesperson said that due to the sunny weather, the pleasant weather that we've been having, there's been an uptick in the number of asylum seekers seeking to cross the channel. It's like, oh. Uh-huh. Sort of like that inflation thing that they always go on about, right? It's not their fault when it goes up, but it is their doing when it comes down.
Absolutely, yeah.
Andy Murray is Scottish when he loses and British when he wins. Mm.
You're right, it's exactly like that.
Absolutely. Louis Rees-Zammit is Welsh when he joins the IPP NFL programme and British when he signs for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Yes. Cakeism, I think it's called, isn't it? Having your cake and eating it.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the...
Cakeism.
I think so.
Yeah, it probably is called that, isn't it? Cakeism. Mm.
Is that like being a Bathist?
Having...
Excuse me?
Is that like being a Bathist?
What's a Bathist?
No, I don't think... As in a member of the Bath Party in Iraq. Yeah, I don't think... I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same.
No, this is like having your refugee and eating him too.
Oh, okay. And using him as a boat?
As what?
A boat.
A boat?
Yeah.
Right. Do you think refugees are funny?
Yeah.
That sort of porn you like?
The ones I met.
Wow.
Are you guys done? Or is there another seaworthy joke to be made before?
Why are you looking at me for?
Because it's you two.
I never made a joke about tits being seaworthy. I think I actually at the time said that I felt quite upset by that joke.
Shut up! No, you did not!
Only because it didn't apply to me.
It's just classic historical revisionism. Absolutely. From Ava Santina.
We're against that.
Very much so. Mm.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Ava, what's the latest from the north of Ireland?
Well, on Good Friday, but now that will be known as Bad Friday, Geoffrey Donaldson resigned as leader of the DUP after he was charged with rape and other historical sexual offences. So he stood down after this case came to light, happened in a couple of hours. Actually, at the start of the day, we didn't know who it was. And then by about midday, he had resigned and Gavin Robinson took his place. Now, Gavin Robinson's had a really hard couple of days because he's been going out and about on the broadcast round to explain to people that we shouldn't politicise Sir Geoffrey Donaldson's charge, and we shouldn't be, we shouldn't be trying to make hay out of it. But also, interesting little loophole, which is that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson can still walk around Parliament, because if you remember, the Conservatives did not pass new legislation that would mean if an MP had been charged with a sexual offence, they would not be allowed to attend the chamber.
Mm.
So he can still vote and he can still walk around.
So obviously strenuously denies the charges and apparently intends to fight them. It's important to say that. And I think there's one thing to say, don't politicise the accusations, right, as the interim leader of the DUP is saying. But that doesn't mean you can overlook the very obvious political consequences of something like this happening, right? You know, there's the politics of Northern Ireland have already been... shall we say tumultuous?
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years, they've only just understatement.
In
the last couple of decades, it's been
a bit dicey,
pretty choppy waters in Northern Ireland. they've only just got power sharing back up and running again. There will now be a leadership contest within the DUP. I know Robinson's the interim, and he's kind of an ally of Donaldson's, and I suspect he will contest that election. But don't forget the fact that Geoffrey Donaldson is very unpopular within the DUP membership for returning to Stormont, right? There's plenty of unionists who think he's basically sold them down the river. The political consequences of this could mean the collapse of Stormont again, you know?
Well, Gavin Robinson might not even hold on to his seat.
Yeah.
And then that would mean that they've had five leaders in 4 years, so they're nearly getting on to,
Conservative territory.
Conservative levels of tomfoolery.
Government, so...
They have
there's no consequence for that.
So they've got two very marginal seats when it comes to Westminster, Belfast East and Antrim South. Both of those are majorities of 3,000. So you're talking about a 3% swing. But I mean,
who are the second parties?
What in those constituencies? Yeah. I imagine the threat to them most likely will come from TUV, Traditional Unionist Voice. It's kind of like the unionist party that's threatening them from the right.
But the Reform Northern Ireland.
Yeah, they actually have said, we, along with Reform UK, oppose the deal that's returned power sharing. Their leader, Jim Allister, quite ironically said that unionists can't be expected to unite around the DUP every time they have a crisis. He also called Gavin Robinson Continuity Geoffrey, which I found quite amusing.
I love learning about DUP guys. They're so like, so Gavin Robinson, interim leader of one of the mainstream parties in Northern Ireland, voted against LGBT inclusive sex and relationship education in English schools. It's not really his business. And then you've also got Edwin Poots.
You know, you could flip Poots. That argument.
What?
You say it's not really his business. Is that really our business?
It's not. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, actually. I retract my comments. Edwin Poots, who's the Speaker of Stormont, is being asked to step down from being Speaker and run as the Deputy Leader of the DUP. He's a young Earth creationist.
There's a lot of creationists, yeah.
But like, it's like he thinks the Earth is 6,000 years old.
Yeah, it doesn't believe in dinosaurs.
I think that must be it.
Yeah.
He also did something
you'd
like.
But where are they?
In 2011... people were trying to break into his house or his farm or something, and he had his legally owned shotgun and just fired it into the air to scare them.
I think I might vote DUP.
You're going to move to
in the same vein as could Sinn Féin win in North London?
No.
Could the DUP win in Surrey?
No.
No.
Good.
You could have picked like...
What about Dover?
Part of west of Scotland. That's the more likely.
But what about like Dover? Because I reckon you've got a few creationists around there.
But their main thing isn't creationism.
Right.
It's
but if it had been.
If there was a creationist party, if the DUP was a creationist party that ran in mainland UK, would they win? No, is my answer to that.
What do you reckon they spent all that money on that Theresa May gave them?
Did they get a motorway or something?
Did they built a motorway?
Isabel?
I can't remember.
You get all that cash and you build a bunch billion. Of virgins. Like, go on, go to Vegas or something. Build a motorway.
I thought infrastructure projects were your jam. Yeah. I thought you got into that sort of thing.
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I was just cosplaying.
Cosplaying as someone who doesn't like transport.
Yeah.
Most boring cosplay of all time. You'd be kicked out the anime convention.
If Sadiq Khan gets a third trimester, we're all we're getting a new super loop.
Oh, fucking
Baker don't. Loop. Yeah, it's going to be called.
Don't.
It's going to go from Elephant and Castle, Lewisham, and it'll be a continuous loop. And it'll have the seats of the Bakerloo line.
Have they? I'm going to engage earnestly with what you're talking about now. Mm. Have they not considered just extending the fucking Bakerloo line like they've been talking about for fucking years?
They have, all right? But central government won't fund it. And TfL is broke.
Anyway, spokesperson for TfL.
We don't even need a right to reply. I'll do it.
There's a really interesting like Venn diagram that on the one hand has TfL and on the other has Reform UK, and somehow inexplicably Ava finds herself in between the
in
two
the
of them. Yeah. I didn't realise that was what that part of the Venn diagram was called.
Asking men to label Venn diagrams, they can't do it.
Psych! It's the clit, you fucking loser!
That's how I've got away with it for so long. No one's been able to see me there. That was good.
It
feels ill-fitting now to run through the other marginal constituencies that the DUP will be defending in the 2024 election.
In the flaps of Northern Ireland.
We're actually calling it labia now.
Catch up.
Is that the end of our DUP chat? I think it probably is, isn't it?
Oh, but you want to carry on with the vulva chat.
You are the one doing vulva chat. I didn't do that.
You're the one who brought up Venn diagrams.
Traditionally, I thought a non-vaginal thing.
Sorry, I've got another Edwin Poots thing. He was criticised by members of Sinn Féin and the Alliance Party after saying coronavirus was more common in nationalist areas.
They've got the fucking plague.
Vaccines don't work on Catholics. Isn't that good? That's just what a great guy to
have. The more I hear about
this
guy.
He's the speaker in Storm.
The more I hear about this guy, the more I consider voting for him.
I'm a putite. He would have been the first minister back then as well. In 2020?
Yeah.
Putin.
He was the first minister. Edwin Poots.
He was the first
minister after having lost it for like a week. So he's like, okay, time to tell you what I really think. Good for our agreement or not.
What would it be? Putian? Putian beliefs?
He's also...
Putian?
Growing up with the surname Poots...
That's a Kardashian thing. It is. Poosh.
Poosh.
Yeah. It's Kourtney Kardashian's wellness line. And they're all like these gummies.
Poosh.
Yeah.
And Evan Poots is the spokesperson for it.
Yeah.
If you take these gummies, you won't get coronavirus unless you're a Catholic.
Yeah.
Growing up with the surname Poots would be tough, and he's probably built up quite a lot of
armour. Certainly seems that way,
armor.
Yeah.
Why do you think it would be tough?
Because your surname is Poo in it.
Yeah. Right.
Do you disagree?
Do I disagree?
Meet me in the marketplace of ideas. Is it difficult to have poo in your surname as a child? I've got to be honest, Ed, I don't fucking care. I really don't care.
So you're going to call your child poo?
No!
That's what I'm hearing. Come on.
Coward.
We all know someone called Coburn who gets called Cockburn.
Do we?
Yeah.
I never understood why it's pronounced like that. Because phonetically it is Cockburn.
Yeah, which is, why would you also come up with that surname?
Yeah, but it feels like something your lot have been up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Making things difficult for you lot.
Oh, I thought you meant like literally burning cock. I was like, that feels exactly what he's been up to.
Chlamydia is a Scottish invention.
Yeah.
What, to spite the English?
It's biological warfare.
Did you know in Vichy, France, that resistance whorehouses, if they found out that they had a chlamydia infection, they deliberately carried on working to infect the German officer class and take them out of operations.
Whoa.
A lot of women down in Portsmouth got arrested for that.
For what?
For giving sailors the clap.
They got arrested?
Yeah, yeah, they did. The prostitute school got arrested because it was, yeah.
When?
So they didn't have to go to war?
No, it was in like, so the sailors, you know, they would dock in Portsmouth whatever. The Navy would dock in Portsmouth. They'd get off the boats and they'd go and, you know.
See a lady?
Yeah, see a lady.
Return to England's green and pleasant lands is how I prefer to call it.
Excuse me, it was syphilis. There was a really big syphilis outbreak.
When the fuck is this?
Well, it's got to be like
the Napoleonic Wars.
I would probably go with 18th century.
You said this like this was like recent news.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No, we're trading history about whoring.
Okay, excellent.
Let me look it up. I think 18th was just like a, that was a
risk. How do you pronounce the word whore?
Whore. You're wanting me to say whore.
100%. I'm wanting you to say whore.
Whore.
She was a whore.
Whore. Have you seen that? It's a ghost boy. Paul Black does this ghost boy character. And he's just like a West End of Glasgow DJ. And he's just playing keyboard. And it's just going, whore, whore. Her.
Sounds fascinating.
In fairness, I don't say the word whore terribly often.
You should.
In what context? Her.
As like a term of endearment. You can call me that if you want.
Hey, whore. Her. Her sounds nicer.
Yeah.
More endearing.
Where's that? Is that a quote from something?
What, her?
She was a whore.
I don't know. Have you spoken to just a misogynistic person?
No, it's from a film. It's from a film or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, bang on.
The only thing I can
Napoleonic Wars.
More 19th century though than 18th. People come back, get syphilis. They'd lock up the woman. Quite right. Prostitute now here.
Do you have any prostitution related history you'd like to share with the podcast, Ed? Personal or actual historical?
No.
No, obviously not. It was a genuine invitation for you to discuss history. But then I turned it into a gag about you and I realised what it sounded like because it made it sound like I was asking for your medical history, but like your prostituting history.
My like stamp card.
Yeah, yeah. You go to the NHS, is that all there?
No, I don't think I've got...
No facts.
No, I think I'm trying to think of a good fact. But that'll keep
you are a bit of a history boy.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot recently.
Yeah.
Lots of history recently.
I've been reading a lot of history recently. I've been listening to The Rest Is History. I was reading the other day.
I thought I know somebody who works in Whitehall, and they said that whatever is discussed on The Rest Is Politics, people come into the office and talk about it as if it's like their idea.
That was what Politico... The London Playbook used to be like, when I, like, the last job used to be the morning meeting, and they'd come in and, like, they'd be like, well, I've seen this around this morning, I've got a feeling about this. And it's like, yeah, we all read the fucking playbook. Yeah.
We need.
German football kit?
Do you think we have the same impact, the same hold in Whitehall?
No.
I think you should let us know.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think. They're not going, oh, yeah, well, actually. we really need to work on knocking up like a prostituting record for everyone in the country. We need that's actually a really good idea. Everyone should have a card. But I would not be surprised if when prostitution is discussed in The Red Line, as I'm sure it often is, people are stealing your material and riffing off.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, if any of your friends are using my bits, let me know. I can invoice them.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, well, there was that big group of sex workers that unionised in Glasgow, wasn't there? Maybe they're talking about that. We talked about that once on the podcast.
I thought you were doing that thing. I thought, like, I was like, we were all there for that conversation with McCarra.
Yeah.
But I thought you were doing, like, the...
People do that quite often.
You would find that independently.
Oh, that would have been good, then. Uh-huh.
People do that quite often. They'll be like, you know, well, we talk... You know, they'll say to me, oh, well, yeah, we talk all the time about, I don't know, XL bullies. And it'll be like, I've never spoken to you about XL bullies. You've heard me talking, or Ed talking about it on the podcast, and you've mistaken. You're forming, like, a parasocial relationship.
I've done one video.
But you are now like the XL bully expert.
Yeah.
And why not? Why not take something like that?
Because I don't think I've earned it.
Stolen valor.
What's your niche? Your niche is beavers.
Not a bad niche to have.
Farming. What's my niche?
Westminster.
Yeah.
It's not a niche, is it?
reform. And I'm not even seeing that as a jibe.
Oh, it is reform, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like there's like there's funny people talking about reform. And then there's actually people who are like tweeting me, telling me that I make them sick because I'm going to vote reform.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
there are people who still think who still tweet Ed being like, you're the son of a war criminal.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, like, but you know why I'm fueling that? Because like
it's her olds.
I told you, didn't I, just before Christmas when I was at that house party, uh-huh. This very nice publisher was talking to me. She was like, is he really Ed Campbell, you know, Alistair Campbell's son? And I was like, yeah.
I've gone through phases of thinking it's annoying, and now I'm back to it's funny again.
Yeah.
It was a good promo.
It was. Got people talking.
Got Alistair very annoyed.
It did, to be fair. Well, understandably.
That was the intention, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was the,
I suppose, understandably.
Bait.
I thought he might have been quite good-humoured about that.
We were accusing him of being, like, enabling nepotism.
Yeah, which that's is the... so much better than accusing him of enabling an illegal war.
Shut the fridge.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Shall we do football kit culture war latest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do you think our kit correspondent is? I feel like it usually Ava does the setup on the story, but I don't know why. Maybe it's my internalised misogyny. I feel like I should ask you to set this one up, Ed.
It definitely is your internalised misogyny.
I think it is also.
Because I actually was the person who proposed this topic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to kick it off?
Well,
okay, we go to our kit correspondent.
Very good.
Ava Santina.
Yeah.
Ava, what's the latest in Germany?
Well, this story interested me for two reasons. The first reason was that the German football away kit is pink.
Fuck it now.
Yeah, there's been uproar.
Fuck it. Are you kidding me?
We all know pink is gay.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
Absolutely classic. Doug Moore getting the woman to talk about the football kits. First of all, I can handle that, but now it's pink. It's fucking disgusting. What is going on?
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
German lads can't be lads anymore.
They can't. And they also can't be Nazi lads anymore because...
Well, we knew that already, to be fair, yes. About the Germans.
Adidas has stopped the sale of customised shirts with the number 44. It was pointed out that the 44 was the regiment that...
the SS, yeah.
...looked after, you know, the concentration camps. Mm. And it looked like the SS symbol when it was 44 because of the font.
You got to respect them. They saw Nike turning the England flag by, and they were like, fucking hold my beer.
Yeah.
Have you tried? How about?
The only thing worse than being a bisexual?
But.
It's being a Nazi.
What you've really got to think about with this is that if you were designing the German football kit, would you not intentionally make sure that nothing looked like any kind of iconography from
What's
the Nazi
one thing
era,
we need
era?
To.
I feel
to
like
avoid.
It's the one thing on like their brand values checklist that they'd be like, absolutely under no circumstances.
Should we have SS on the uniform?
Yeah.
We've done it before. No one's buying that kit anymore. So
no one's buying the SS uniform.
Yeah. Let's try something new.
Let's try something new.
It's totally mental. And also the fact that they had to ban it. Like ban the sale of 44. Like there's all these like nutters who were like,
but I wonder if anyone actually did buy it.
Yeah.
Probably.
There'll be a lot of like far right nuts who've bought it, or far left nuts, who bought it. And then there'll be like some guy who just loves the number 44.
It's some German guy, it's his 44th birthday.
Yes. And it's totally
imagine his surname happens to be Hitler. It's his 44th birthday.
Yeah.
Actually, they probably wouldn't let you buy a Hitler kit because of woke.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Team GB flag?
Oh, yeah, they changed the colour of that as well,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, it's got a big print of Hitler on it. And I didn't want to say anything when I saw it because I didn't want to get into the flag dialogue, but I thought, look, you should not have that on there.
I actually think, didn't one of the...
He's German, not English.
Austrian.
Austrian, sorry.
I saw a soldier with a Totenkopf on his uniform the other day and I can't remember where they were fucking from.
Germany?
No.
Was it a documentary?
No.
We were, previous to this record, we were talking about swinging in our neighbourhoods, so possibly you saw it there.
It's related to swingers' party.
is the gag that I go to Nazi themed swinging events? Is that what the joke is?
No, actually, I just thought the gag was that you were a swinger,
right,
but you've made it funnier.
Okay. Does the context of a symbol matter?
You're talking about that video.
What video?
Which?
The video from the protest on Saturday.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
That whole story to me is a total red herring.
Tell people about the story before we start talking about it.
Right. So there was a pro-Palestine march on Saturday, and there was a protester who was displaying a swastika. A member of the public was complaining about this to a police officer, and the police officer decided to, instead of being normal and just writing down, like, where did you see the swastika? What time was this? What did they look like? I will deal with that. He decided to become the spokesperson for the Met. Thought he was like Cressida Dick or something, you know. And then was like, oh, well, it's not really under the Public Order Act and I can't really do much about that. And he was sipping insidiously out of this coffee cup, pontificating about whether this person could be arrested or not.
Good use of the word pontificating.
Huh?
Good word.
Good use of the word pontificating.
Mm. And insidious.
Mm.
Someone got a dictionary for their birthday.
Yeah, it's my word of the day, loo roll. I had to get rid of the one with all the swastikas on it. It was totally nuts. This person had a really valid claim, which is that there's a swastika there. They're, you know, can you do something about it? Mm. And that this person had been arrested by the end of the day.
Mm.
And it was being dealt with. And instead, this Met police officer decided to create a furore over nothing.
I'm interested by this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because is what he said wrong?
I think that it was way above his pay grade. That would sort of be like me going in to speak on behalf of...
Politics joke.
Well, no, but like, you know, like, but you know what I mean? Like, it just was not his job to be doing that. Okay, it'd be like if I went to a shareholder meeting and I started discussing, you know, the price of... That's not my role. You're literally there to like write down what the witness has said and then deal with it.
Yeah. So he says the context of these things matter, right? And I find it very hard to disagree with that sentiment because, and also, by the way, in this specific instance, if the context is a march protesting the actions of Israel, I think that gives you all the context you need to know about whether or not a swastika is an appropriate symbol to be there. The answer clearly being no.
Mm.
However, and I'm not just doing this to play devil's advocate, where does that symbol come from, right? It comes from Hinduism. There are uses of the swastika, whereas like you and I, in our British-coded Western brain, we only really associate the swastika with Nazism, right? We think it means that. If a Hindu had been walking past the march and had some kind of swastika symbol and didn't even know the march was there, had nothing to do with Israel, you would have to say that the context matters there, right? And like, I'm in no way defending this person for having, you know, using the symbol in the march. It's not right. It's anti-Semitic. But I do think it matters that actually, if we look at what the police officer said, which is that the context matters, it's true.
But it wasn't his job to say it.
Context does matter.
There's a house I've seen in Glasgow, which is behind... You only see it if you like walk past the gates, but there are like Hindu swastikas built like on the brick, built into it. And I kind of think the context does matter, but I think if you are living in Britain or Western Europe, you fully know what that represents to. It's the original meaning, I think, has lost meaning.
Yeah.
In that context.
So that's also an interesting discussion, right, about what... Because in theory, if you're just talking about the graphical, the image itself,
mm-hmm.
essentially the same thing can mean totally different things to different people. Like, the actually, what it symbolizes is a projection, is something that actually is quite tied to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That the same thing can be different things to different people.
Yeah, like the 88 number.
Yeah, exactly, the 88 number. Or, for example, so let's say that 44 on the German football kit, let's say it wasn't on a German football kit, and it was, I don't know, how fucking British Rail were depicting, like, 16 minutes to an hour on a digital clock.
Yeah.
Would you say that's unacceptable? Is it the fact that that 44 is on a German football kit?
But it did also look so similar. To
it did
the SS.
It looked extremely
like,
SS, it's
almost
yeah.
identical. And yeah. if British Rail were suddenly displaying like SS logo at time, you would be like, "Whoa, I think this is something's gone wrong here, lads."
Okay, do you think you would actually think like that out because it's just on a, like, let's say it's the example I'm giving, right? It's a clock. Mm-hmm. Would you look at it and go, oh, that looks a bit like, that clock's telling me it's SS time.
I would think it, because British Rail is one of the best fonts of all time. So I would be quite surprised that they use that.
Mm.
So yeah, I would. But if you've got another example.
So if you're a normal person.
I don't know if I'd notice it, but if someone pointed that out.
I think what I'm saying is like, the context of it appearing on the German football shirt is why everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Hello.
Come on, lads. Yeah.
While we're on the topic, I think it's a good time to bring up swastika laundry.
Oh, yeah, that's mental.
In Dublin, there used to be a laundry service called Swastika Laundry, founded in 1912. And when I show you this, you might recognise it.
What?
For context, Ava is showing a red van with a swastika on it.
Black swastika, white background, yeah. Red van.
It's the Nazi. That is just, as well.
Yeah. This is not the German football kit. This is a...
So what is that?
A laundry service that was founded in 1912. Nothing to do with the Nazis.
Well, I'm sure they'd fucking say that, wouldn't they?
No, they didn't. Sean, do you want to come in and explain it?
Do you want to know something interesting about it?
Well, they can't hear, so you don't
have
to... Yeah,
they can hear. When Sean speaks. Let's not give them a mic.
And then led to that. That's interesting.
Well.
But it still ran that, I think, right up until the 70s or 80s, didn't it? They never closed it down. They changed the name, did they?
You'd have to rebrand.
I don't think they did rebrand.
Do you know where you couldn't get away with that? Authoritarian Scotland. You'd be arrested and thrown in fucking jail.
Just for saying you're an Nazi.
Probably should be, actually. Yeah. I think you get put away for that in authoritarian England as well.
Oh, just because you want to call your business swastika. And I have swastikas everywhere. You're trying to lock me up.
What happened to free speech?
What happened to free speech in the country? I can't be a Nazi anymore? Okay.
You can be a Nazi, you just have to be a they-them Nazi.
They changed the name in 1939.
Yeah.
Kept the logo. I told you they kept something of it, yeah.
That's the main part.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show cast.
The Hate Crime and Public Order Act comes into effect in Scotland, or came into effect in Scotland, yesterday.
April Fools.
I imagine. Everyone getting their knickers in a twist. It's just a big joke.
I wish I thought of a pun for Humza Yousaf about authoritarianism.
Humza useless?
Okay. So threatening or abusive behaviour which is intended to stir up hatred on the grounds of age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity and variations in sex characteristics will now be prohibited. So, Ed, a challenging day for you.
It's fine. It's why I came to London, so that you can continue his hateful campaigns.
I think that speaks to something at the heart of this, is that the people who are the angriest about this are the people... Why are you angry but you're not going to be able to use hateful speech about people's
religion? Well, it excludes
religion.
Misogyny. That's what they're annoyed about.
Yes, but not everyone. There are serious racist neo-Nazis protesting outside Scottish Parliament.
Yeah.
Demanding overturning the free speech. And also there is also criticism about how it's enforced. Police are understaffed, resourced anyway. And we saw with the what's it called? The public order bill in England.
Mm.
When police have been very overzealous in limiting protest laws, arresting journalists, etc. Police might not be able to enact this brilliantly. And there could be some vexatious complaints.
Vexatious.
There could be.
That's any crime, though.
No, but exactly. But that's not what the criticism is. I'm saying those are genuine criticisms that about this new bill. But that's not what people are angry about. People are saying, I'm going to be locked up and for misgendering someone. Well, if you consistently harass a trans person over the course of several months, I think that is a crime. I think that is bad.
Yeah, but you wonder as well, like, sort of the level of harassment that gets leveled at trans people. Is it even really about, like, a certain characteristic that you have, or a protected characteristic? Is it not just about, like, some of these people just actually lambast and harass them to the point where it's like, I don't think you need to even point out the trans part here.
Yeah, you're just being hateful.
You're just being hateful, yeah.
You're just being hateful. It's...
Anyway, Joanna Cherry's really upset about it.
But
why isn't this already covered by previously existing legislation to prevent hate speech?
Because there's been no provision for it. So in England and Wales, there has been. It's been Scotland's now catching up to the rest of the country. We previously only had race as a protected characteristic.
And just that was
things.
It?
Yeah, and now just other things.
Fucking hell, didn't realise it was open season on everyone else. We should have recorded this out of Scotland.
It's just consolidating lots of existing things into one
right.
simple thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Equality Act of 2010 is still.
Did you see, whilst we're on the subject of April Fools, did you see J.K. Rowling's April Fools?
What did she do?
She did a thread of tweets listing like a number of trans women, and then was like, "April Fools, they're actually men."
And then she asked the police to arrest her.
Yeah.
That doesn't meet the threshold. Well, I don't know. Does that meet the threshold? The problem is Police Scotland in their communications about this have not been, they haven't helped themselves. They've said, on their website, said insults could lead to an arrest, which is kind of the wrong way to go about it. Instead of being like, oh, so I can't say you're fat and I'll be arrested.
But it's quite obvious that you could say, you could be nasty and say someone is fat. But if every single day you woke up and you were like, listen, you fat pig, you know, you look like you've eaten an entire house,
And I hate you because you're trans.
And I hate, yes. Then that might be...
Or because you're a Muslim, or because you're whatever.
This is all sounding quite well rehearsed from you
this
two.
This legislation might...
Do you wake up every day and say, you're so fat, you look like you've eaten a house?
Yeah, I do it to myself.
To yourself?
In the mirror!
Yeah. Police Scotland coming down to London to arrest you for having such low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Don't talk about yourself like that, Ava. You're coming with us.
We're going to lock you up.
Yeah.
You are gorgeous. And we're going to put you in self-esteem jail. It's actually illegal to have low self-esteem in this country.
Hamza Yusuf comes and shakes my hand.
You are worthy.
We recognise you.
Slay.
As a Scot, I have the right to self-hatred. It's a protected characteristic.
Joanna Cherry on the way up there. Joanna Cherry's like, oh, they're going to throw her in the male prison.
Seriously, though.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling has gone from being, I'm not transphobic. I just have serious and legitimate concerns about these issues and I respect trans rights. To tweeting a list of trans women and calling them men. Is there something about, I don't know, do you call it like...
Scotland. I'm not being disingenuous.
Them fucking Scots. No. Like TERFs and gender critical people. Because Graham Linehan is not Scottish.
Irish.
And so maybe it's a Celtish thing. I don't know, mate. Yeah. But no. They
the Chad Norman. Non-binary gender.
This quote-unquote community just fucking poisons people. You watch how he slid, right? From, it's a similar journey, and then his life sort of ends up collapsing around him. And you can see, you watch him, he talks about it openly now, right? How it's essentially destroyed his life, right? You know, whether it's people no longer wanting to talk to him, him not being able to get work. It's become, you know.
Because he was being deeply unpleasant.
Yeah. No, I'm not excusing it.
No, but you know, but I'm not excusing it. It annoys me every time he talks about it.
But there's a point of difference, right, which is that J.K. Rowling is so wealthy and established that, you know.
She could buy her friends.
Well, no, the point is, like, is how, realistically, what does being cancelled mean? Yeah. And generally speaking, I think it means losing your job. I think it means you can't get work, and then it becomes like a very serious problem for you rather than just people being angry on Twitter. And I wonder, is there something unique about that community of people that does radicalize, that does push them to more and more extreme positions on things? And actually, and viewers can watch my interview with Judith Butler from a couple of weeks ago, there is something actually quite unique about Britain's, about that community of people in Britain that isn't happening elsewhere in the world.
Maybe it's because a lot of other culture wars in the UK are settled. or Ooh. Like, or as in, you're not going to push for less rights for black people in the UK or things like this. I think they do that
all the time though, because they always say you can't say anything anymore, and it's like, you know, someone like who owns a pub in Essex who wants to keep their gollywogs up.
But as there's not a mainstream political movement around that, if that makes sense. You can't stand up in Parliament and say, as in, but you can stand up in Parliament and say fewer rights for trans people.
Someone did stand up in Parliament and talk about the gollywog pub.
Mm. So I know what you're saying,
yes. But it's just funny that I think someone did actually do
but you
that.
Can't, but you can't stand up and say, I think black people are stupid.
It's one of the last acceptable
bigotries
that you can perform in. Yes. Like, I would say it's that and the Roma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And there's grounds to be made. Because it's such a... This debate... Because actually there's like so few trans people in this country... I think probably the vast majority of people haven't ever met a trans person. If you're an old person, yeah. Or maybe they have not knowing that, they probably aren't close to a trans person. That's probably the best way of saying it.
I just don't know that they've met a trans person.
Yes, yeah, but the trans person is, it can be all things, it can mean all things to all people. If you don't know just Janet down the shop you interact with every day, the thought of, if you're being told that there is a threatening, someone is here to hurt you, it's a useful political tool, it's a useful political football, and it actually has nothing to do with the actual rights or lived experience of trans people, and it's a useful device for everyone. It signifies how liberal you are. So if you're on the left, it can signify like I'm a real trans ally, despite the fact you actually might not have interact with trans people terribly often. And on the right, you can be like, I hate trans people, and that's also politically useful for you. So it can be, it's a political football on for everyone.
Someone interviewed John Ronson recently, didn't they?
Yes, culture war expert. I listened to the podcast and spoke to the spoke to the journalist.
No, it's a good point. What I accept, yeah.
There's something to be said about how weird Scotland is as well.
Please. The floor is yours, King.
I think Scottish people like to, like, as a Scot, I saw your fucking weird shit about the England flag. And I was like, well, thank God that's not my country. And then the next week, neo-Nazis are outside Scottish Parliament demanding... like free speech, and like they're not being criticized. People aren't like, well, that's a neo-Nazi, but no idea. People have been like, I will be arrested because I say I hate Hamza Yusuf. This is Scotland now. People aren't doing like cursory research. And Ali McCoy's on TalkSport today being like, J.K. Rowling's right. And I don't believe, like, Ali, come on. You've got so much...
goodwill. Yeah.
So much goodwill.
Just keep fucking fumbling. But then
it is also TalkSport, because like, so you have to be... There's like a benefit to being as divisive as possible. We're talking about those issues.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's taken hold. I think this issue, trans issue, has taken hold more so in Scotland, I would say, than in England and Wales. I think it's become like, it's becoming a point of, a dividing point in the SNP in a way that hasn't in Labour or the Conservatives or the Lib Dems. Because I think there is this, it's pernicious within Scotland for some reason.
Is that because J.K. Rowling has more cultural sway up there than possibly down here?
I don't think that's true. I would say I don't think it's true. People don't really think of her as Scottish.
It's looped in with Sturgeon as well, isn't it? And it's looped in
You're right, actually. Yeah. The gender recognition bill, reform bill. No, you're right.
And all of the politicking that went on around that when that was going to be introduced. And then Isla...
Bryson.
And that was a pretty terrible indictment of the legislation.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
But the problem is that there's no space for nuance around the discussion. You're either, I think there's no space around the nuance around the discussion, because you either have to say, yeah, absolutely free for all, people can wake up in the morning and just decide they want to be either gender, or you are transphobic. There doesn't seem to be, like, in legislation, there's no proposals for somewhere in the middle for quite obvious and reasoned discussion or nuances in the law. Like, it was quite obvious looking at Isla Bryson that she should not have been going into a women's prison. Like, that was quite obvious. The serial rapist should not be allowed to be on a what are they called? Not ward.
Wing.
Wing with other women. Obviously. But there was no discussion about that nuance with the Scottish government, because they were so hell-bent on getting that bill through and not being proved that there could be some faults in their proposals, that they let it happen and then they shot themselves in the foot. And actually, they damaged quite a lot of the progress that anyone who is trans might have than experienced, because that was so mental that it's almost characterized all trans people as if they are Isla Bryson, or at least in the view, in the view of the right. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if it's, I wonder if in Scotland the governing party is more liberal than Scotland at large. If the SNP are voted in on the basis of independence or support for independence, you might vote for them and be completely opposed to all their social policies. And so then from the top down, you're trying to impose socially liberal policies or stuff, or progressive stuff like this that people in Scotland might object to. You might, which I think is where like Alba trans come from. They're trying to like take back nationalism from, they're trying to decouple it from being like progressive.
Okay, I think that's us. I think we're done.
We're done?
I think we're done, yeah. We've been going for a little while. It's been nice to get the gang back.
Yeah.
It's been nice to get the gang back together.
Yeah.
It has been nice, hasn't it?
Lovely to get the gang back together.
It's been really nice. Done some extra politics for them all as well.
We definitely need to finish, because we've got to turn the studio over in about 20 minutes for another interview, so.
Who've you got?
Bassem Youssef.
Who's that?
He is, he's sort of, he's called like the Egyptian John Stewart.
Oh, cool. Oh, he does stuff with Piers Morgan.
He has been interviewed by Piers Morgan a couple of times, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So cool. Let's wrap it up, because there's not a lot of time to turn the studio around.
Absolutely not.
Cool. Thank you very much for listening to the Politics Show podcast. We'll see you on the next one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.